Welcome to City Talks, a new podcast series looking at the big ideas, issues and developments affecting cities across the UK. I'm Andrew Carter from the Centre for Cities, and each month I'll be discussing a different topic with a panel of city experts. I hope you enjoy the programme. Welcome to this episode of City Talks. I'm Andrew Carter, and this month we're exploring the arguments for and against directly elected mayors in the UK. This debate has been given increased saliency as a result of George Osborne's announcement that Greater Manchester will install a directly elected Metro Mayor in exchange for a series of powers, which in some respects go above and beyond those held by the Mayor of London. The interest generated by this announcement in part reflects how novel the idea of a mayor still is in the UK. The country is divided up into 433 local authorities, each of which has elected representatives, who in the vast majority of cases choose a leader amongst themselves. And as of now, there are only 16 directly elected mayors in the country, and it's been a difficult road to get to that number. The Labour government delivered on its 1997 manifesto promise to establish a Mayor of London in 2000, an office created on top of the capital's 33 local authorities. Labour also allowed individual authorities the option of having an elected mayor after a referendum, but in the 2 years that followed that legislation, only 30 such referendums were held, and only 11 voted yes for mayors. The Coalition's Localism Act in 2011 paved the way for a further round of mayoral creation. Only this time, central government decided to impose a mayoral referendum on the 12 largest councils in England. Liverpool, Leicester and Salford preempted the initiative and held successful referendums. But in 2012, 10 referendums were held at the behest of central government, and only one of which, in Bristol, was successful. And now, with a soon-to-be Greater Manchester mayor, we seem to have come full circle again. Like London, this will be a city region mayor which will sit above the 10 local councils that make up Greater Manchester, and it is being imposed by central government without a referendum. So despite successive governments being in favour of the idea of city mayors, it has proved difficult for it to gain traction in the UK against the public and indeed amongst local councils. In this regard, we are an outlier. Europe and the United States are awash with directly elected mayors, and some even believe that as the world becomes more urban, the future of politics lies not in the elected representatives of the nation state, but with elected representatives of cities. So are mayors a good idea? Joining me to debate this question, I have Gisela Stewart, Member of Parliament for Birmingham Edgbaston and a leading proponent of a mayor for that city, Sir Robin Wales, the Mayor of Newham, and Councillor Peter Box, the leader of Wakefield Council. So turning to you first, Sir Robin, you were the leader of Newham Council from 1995 to 2002, and then you became mayor. Can you tell us what you can do as a mayor that you couldn't do as a leader?
See, it varies, and one of the things I'd say is that while I think mayors can work, so can local councils, and there are different political cultures in every area, so it can be different it can work differently in each place. As far as I'm concerned in Newham, the difference was there's a sense of legitimacy. If you're dealing with business, remember, Newham's been identified as the place, the most important regeneration area in London and arguably in the country. So lots of stuff's happening. The relationships with business is critical to creating and generating jobs. And business understand it. And they understand if you're elected, directly elected, they understand you have legitimacy. It's conferred on you by the people. It's 4 years. And that's worked extremely well. It's also, I think if you do it right, not all mayors do this, everybody's got a different way of doing it, but I'm able to take more risks with devolving powers to councillors. If you have to maintain your group and you have to make sure you've got links, it's a complex political relationship that everybody, every leader has to go through. I'm able to give powers out because if they're not used properly or effectively, there's less political fallout if I pull them back and then maybe get somebody else to do it or try something else. So, paradoxically, I think members have got more power in their local areas, and we're doing a lot of stuff decentralising to those local areas because, by and large, we follow a subsidiarity principle. The Mayor of London has powers across London, great. We need to devolve some of those powers. Mm-hmm. We need more powers to London. They then have to come down to sub-regions. We've just set up a number of councils in the East End of London have come together to say we should have powers, some of which we've devolved down to councils, and then we devolve that further. That's the kind of structure we should be aiming for in a modern democracy. But certainly in terms of being mayor compared to leader, I have greater legitimacy and I'm much more visible to residents. Mm-hmm. And remember, the one thing they said about getting mayor was, if something goes wrong or something goes right, you know who's responsible, who's accountable. And that makes it more personal. So I've seen mayors who aren't very good pay the price, but if you are good, people will then vote for you.
Okay, great. Gisela, turning to you next. During the 2012 mayoral referendum, and Birmingham was obviously one of those cities that the government wanted to see a mayor being put into place, you were a strong advocate for the city having a mayor, and I think you declared or threw your hat into the ring that you would be interested if and when the mayoral position came up. Why did Birmingham need a mayor, and what was it that interested you in possibly running and being that person?
It's kind of rediscovering your civic pride. Mm-hmm. City of, you know, the home of Joe Chamberlain, the one who turned the worst governed city in the 1870s to the best governed city in 3 years. I thought it was time for Birmingham to get out of this hole of always pleading exceptionalism. Things don't work or do work in Birmingham because we are that much bigger. And it is true. It is, it'd be three boroughs if it were in London. But I thought it needed that absolute direct accountability, because at the moment you've got 120 councillors. All you need to do is kind of form the largest group, and then you've got to keep some, you know, almost some like 40 councillors on your side. And that is the base of your legitimacy in a city of 1.1 million where 285,000 weren't even born in this country. Huge influx, fastest growing youngest city. And I thought the process of standing for election would also mettle that individual to then have that kind of strength to take greater risks. But be that phone number, if I want to ring up Birmingham and say, not only do you make the decisions, but I will hold you directly accountable. Top of that, Birmingham has had this system, and the recent reviews say they're going to put an end to this, of only one in third elections. So the whole city would come out and could probably vote for the power, for the party in opposition, and nothing would change. Mm-hmm. But the key thing for me is also, I think, parliamentary sufficiency has sort of seen the end of its day. When the Labour in 97 started to devolve, they looked at England, they devolved in London, but the devolution outside London ran into the sands. And Parliament, the way it's operated, actually is no longer sufficient to be that final element of accountability. And that's where the elected mayors will come in.
Great. Councillor Peter Box, leader of Wakefield Council for the last 16 years, and obviously now the chair of the West Yorkshire Combined Authority. You've been against the introduction of a London-style mayor or a Manchester-style mayor in Leeds and in the Leeds City region. Why is that?
Well, you mentioned the referendum that took place in my city in 2012, and the vote was 67% in favour of a leader, actually, because the question on the ballot paper was, do you want to keep a leader with a cabinet? That was the actual question, not do you want a mayor? So 67% of people voted positively to keep me. Amazingly. And it was the same in Leeds and the same in Bradford. We had round about the same kind of figures. A couple of years earlier, Kirk Lees had also had a referendum and they said no to an elected mayor. So four out of the five West Yorkshire authorities that created the Combined Authority have had referenda as recently as 3 years ago. And the public, not the politicians, the public said, we want to keep the status quo. So the West Yorkshire Combined Authority felt that we should follow that public lead. And the real thing is, how do we make sure there is strong and effective leadership on a collective basis? I accept the arguments that have been made. You can have strong leadership, obviously, with an elected mayor. I know elected mayors who give very strong leadership. Robin and I have known each other for many years. And one of the two other colleagues as well who are mayors who are friends and who are good. It seems to me that what's happening in terms of the Manchester deal, for example, is that George Osborne is saying, well, unless you do what I want in terms of the constitution of this country, you can't have devolution. And I do not agree with that. I think if we are going to change the constitution, let's have, and I know it's not very exciting, but let's have a constitutional convention. How should we be run? What is the balance between national and local politics? Do we want, for example, a regional form of government in some places? Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to all these questions. I know that we need to have a long and serious conversation. It may well be that some areas feel a mayor is more appropriate, and I'm totally relaxed about that. And finally, we'll just pose this question. Do people think that we should have a directly elected prime minister there? Because if we're going to follow an American model in terms of local government, are we going to follow an American model in terms of how we elect the national leader? And that seems to have been forgotten.
And Sir Robin, you mentioned about the visibility and the credibility. I mean, on a daily basis, walking the streets of Newham, you know, are you recognising the street? Is that notion that, you know, this is this is the leader of our place, and if I want to hold him accountable, I know who he is? I mean, do you see that manifestly on a daily basis?
You should have been asked the other day. Two women came at me and said, I want to talk to you about council tax. And I said, we've frozen for 8 years. Yeah, but we could do it better. Yes. And my favourite question is when people say, you do your own shopping then? And you're going, yeah, my kids have to eat at some point. So yes, I'm much more visible. We voted 2-1 in a referendum of a mayor. I'm much more visible, people know me much better. But Peter's right, there's some terrific leaders, including Peter, around the place, and it works very well. I'm a great fan of people should be allowed to make their own mind up. I think mayors can work very well. We've seen places where mayors don't work very well. We've seen where councils have worked disastrously. And I think one of the problems is often that we've picked up mayors in places where the political culture is has been corrupted over many years. And one of the issues which you need to get to grips with the mayor is the people selecting the mayor come from the same political culture if it's, say, the same party that's running it. So you can have problems. So it doesn't solve all your problems. I think people should be allowed to do what they want. They should make the decisions. I think it works very well in Newham. I think my residents think that. We get a very big vote. But I think if I was getting the perfect mayor, it would be that people need to have information about how you're performing. The greatest weakness of our system is people have no access to independent information at a local level that allows them to make judgments about their councils, about their mayors, about anything. Now, I think that's a big thing missing. Beyond that, I think then it's about saying power should sit at the lowest possible level, the lowest possible democratic level. That means no quangos, no putting stuff in place. Make sure, if you're going to have it, you've got democracy. We went to see the Americans just after I was elected, and they understand democracy. If you get one more vote than me, you run the place. Mm-hmm. Here, when you go to, say, the civil service and you've been elected, you're considered a pest. And I think there's a whole issue about how we treat democracy. And the more we can push powers down, the better. I'll just finish by saying, it's interesting that with all the system we've got, what councils run something like 70% satisfaction rates, and national politicians, with the exception of Gisela, run at 30%. So, yes. You know, there is a satisfaction out there if you can get lower and closer to people.
Gisela Stewart.
It's interesting, we sort of talk about the referendum, people should decide, and Peter saying, you know, people voted for the model they had. One of the reasons why the Birmingham referendum ended in a result in a no vote was, first of all, the powers weren't defined. So you had a vague model as to what the mayor would mean. Then you used a term which completely confused people because they thought, well, we've already got a mayor. That's the guy or the woman with the golden chain around their neck and open things. Then you held the referendum on a day when you also had a party political vote. And what happens is that on something like the mayor, it doesn't fall along party political lines. But the closer you get to polling day, we as politicians, we kind of say, look, it's more important we win control of the council, you know, we get Jim elected as a councillor and not argue publicly about the mayor. So if you have constitutional referendum, you really do have to separate them out of tribal politics. So that's the only issue on the table. And then on top of that, you had this kind of bizarre question on the ballot paper where the Electoral Commission felt it needed to summarise the office. I mean, we don't do this in general election, local election. It just says, you know, Gisela Stewart, the Labour Party. You know, the Electoral Commission doesn't feel the need to give a sentence on what she stands for. So I remember ringing up on polling day and saying to people first, had you voted Labour? Fine. And then I said, just a matter of interest, how did you vote in the mayor referendum? And they really weren't quite sure what the particular box meant. So what you had was a referendum under the worst possible conditions. So it neither legitimised nor delegitimised the decision. And if we're going to ask people, I think we need to go about it in a different way.
Peter Box, your reflections on that point. I mean, if we'd asked the question in a different way, would you now be, or someone now be, the directly elected mayor of Wakefield, or was there something else below that as to why people didn't go for it? They didn't only not go for it in Wakefield or Birmingham. They didn't go for it in a great number of places, and in fact, they only went for it in Bristol, which I think, and there was a slightly different offer there with an outsider almost standing outside of the different parties. But Peter,
no idea. It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It may well be that people are quite happy with the kind of collective leadership that's given across those cities that were asked to conduct a referendum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not sure if there's any research being carried out. I think the point about further powers is well made. You know, it seems to me that at a local level we do things better, we do it quicker, and by and large we do it cheaper as well. So I'm a great believer in devolution as a matter of principle, but in terms of cost we do it cheaper, so we should have more of it. But I sometimes think we get into a false debate talking about devolution and then having a separate debate about elected mayors,
mm-hmm.
and a separate debate about regional. Mm-hmm. And what we tend to do in this country, it seems to me, is to tinker with things. And I'll give you a great example on how we deal with transport. We work in silos. We've got HS2 debate, then we've got the amount we need to bring up the roads to a proper standard. I can, you know, bore listeners ad nauseum about the state of the roads and what it would cost to put them right. And then airports. So you've got separate debates. We should be talking about transport as a whole.
Yeah.
The same with local government and the relationship between national and local and regional. Let's talk about this in a serious way that looks at all the issues. Don't let's have a debate about mayors and then a couple of years later have a debate about devolution.
From the way that both Sir Robin and Giesler explained the advantages of a directly elected mayor, would seem to me that if those powers are passed down, it would be easier to wield them if you're a direct elected mayor rather than being a leader. Tell me that isn't the case, Sir Robin.
No, I think it's changed now. I mean, I think electing a leader every year is foolish. I would say to any group doing that, that makes a huge mistake. But leaders can now be elected for 4 years, they're appointed, and that gives them a degree of legitimacy. I think it is better and easier if you're a mayor, but the balance can be such that actually it may suit people to be different. Let people make a judgment on this. There is an issue about status quo. Peter is right. This very Prime Minister, who's done so much damage in the last 5 years, said before the election, the last election, that local government was the most efficient part of government. And they've taken money out of local government at a great rate of knots. So we know it's actually people are quite well served. What's interesting, if you go back to the original set of elections, the original set of ballots and referenda for mayors, in almost every case bar two, it was a failure of the council that led to people saying, I want a different place.
Mm-hmm.
And the two were Lewisham, who can't pay for it, and Newham. The other exception was Hackney, where Jules Pipe had sorted Hackney out, but too late, people still remembered what had happened and wanted to change it, and indeed elected him as mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So what you had was people saying, this system doesn't work in Stoke, in South Tyneside, in Hartlepool, we want a different system to respond to. So partly I think there's a very great power in status quo,
okay.
But
yes.
Again, let people make those decisions,
okay.
Make judgments. I think as we get more, people will look at them and people say, well, actually, I quite like that system. I think you'll see gradually over a period you get more mayors, but people should make those decisions for themselves.
Peter, wouldn't it be easier if you were the directly elected mayor of Wakefield? Couldn't you do an even better job than you're currently doing?
Well, life would be easier if I got more cash as well. I mean,
yeah.
That's probably
how could you do a better job, Peter, than you're doing now?
Well, thank you so much. I don't know is the truth. I mean, I hear what Robin says, and there's clearly some truth in the legitimacy argument, but different models of leadership needn't stop other kind of models being adopted in different places, is what I'm saying, I guess.
Mm.
And you know, I think it was the first Chinese emperor who said, when the best leaders die, people will say we did it ourselves.
Mm.
So don't let's get overhung up about strong leadership. I mean, I walk in my city and I get approached, because I've been around a while, I guess. And I suppose maybe that's to do with the fact I have been leader for 16 years, so I am known. Business comes to see me in the same way it sees Robin, because they know there's political stability. And I think that's what business is concerned about. The truth of the matter is they don't care what party I represent. They care, am I the leader? Am I the come-to person? And do I give them certainty? And they know that there is stability, and we give them certainty and wait for you when they come to see me along with my chief executive. So that's how we've operated. That's how we do operate. But I'm not saying that you can't have an elected mayor that can be equally successful in a different place or even in the neighbouring authority,
yes.
I have to say.
Yes.
Stability is really important because with that comes predictability. But I keep coming back to the way local government operates. Now, we've got here two very good leaders, but you know there are parts of local government where the quality of the leadership is lacking. How do you attract the best and the finest to actually go in there? If Birmingham was a FTSE 100, it would be in the early 30s in that list. If I was the chief executive of a FTSE 100 and around 35, and you were telling me that I could only draw my board from the 60 councillors, you have, you know, the democratic process has just delivered me, I would ask some very serious questions. So that means we've got to get to the point where you young professionals will stand to become councillors, will challenge the status quo, do rattle the cage, because ultimately the cities are the future. The cities are reflecting the economy. They will become increasingly more important as I think Westminster will decrease its importance. So I think anything that makes those jobs more attractive and that the next generation of young politicians go and say, you know what, being an MP might be quite interesting, but I'm actually going to run for the local council. And if you go back to Joe Chamberlain's vision, someone said in a historic debate recently, oh, wasn't it amazing he was the first local politician who chose national politics and really had to question whether that was the right way forward. And then someone said, no. You know, when he became colonial secretary, he ran Birmingham as if there were the colonies, and he ran the colonies as if there were Birmingham. Mm. So we need to get people who really think big. Now, we've got two here who do, but we haven't yet got enough.
Peter.
I just agree entirely about how do we attract newer, younger people and broaden out the appeal. And if you look recently, I think it was Brandon Lewis, local government minister, that said councillors shouldn't get a pension because it was akin to being a Boy Scout. Now, I don't know whether Boy Scouts are responsible as I am for a budget of £500 million. So we've got to make it worthwhile for people to say, this is actually like running a business, it's a career. And be quite open about saying that, but it comes back to the point that all this should be included in trying to develop a model that gives stability, that gives people a different option, and that looks at these relationships between national and local and regional. Because what happened was that the party I represent scrapped regional assemblies. I was the chair of the Yorkshire and Humber Regional Assembly. This government gets in and they scrap the RDAs. And then they find out they do need something at a local level. So LEPs are created. And then, of course, we've now got the combined authority, which creates uncertainty because, you know, what's the relationship between those two bodies? And my party have said that if we win the election, that LEPs should be part of the combined authority, should be the investment arm, perhaps. But every time we look at different things that are happening, we find there are problems and it's not being properly thought out. So for once, let's make sure we get this right. Sit back, have a serious conversation. So I get frustrated when people say the question of mayors is a big issue, it's part of a big issue. Because I think you mentioned earlier, Andrew, about America. You quoted America. If you look at San Francisco, they've got an elected mayor. And yet California's got a governor, and they have a referenda. So are we saying that if we like the American system so much in terms of elected mayors, are the proponents saying, well, yeah, we like the idea of a governor, which indicates a regional form of government? Are we saying that let's have referenda, let's have recalls? I mean, I think in California, I think there actually was a successful recall of one of the governors there. Which is why Alex Schwarzenegger got the the seat eventually. And I think, I know all the time I'm coming back to the central point I'm making, which is there are different models in different countries. If you look at Germany, they have got a regional model, which was given to them after the Second World War, I think, by this government. Very, very strong regional government.
Yes.
Are we saying that we'd like that as well as yes. elected mayors? And I'll just pose this question, perhaps for another day. Is there such a thing as pure democracy anyway?
Good question. Giza,
let me
briefly come in on this, but then I want to pick your brains on. I want you to put you in there in the shoes of the Chancellor. Give me a perspective as to, can you see why he's advocating for what he's advocating for?
But let me just sort of knock on the head this myth of Germany. Because it is absolutely true that the occupying forces imposed their various models of local government. And in the British sector, they imposed kind of directly elected mayors, which they thought was a very good idea. And there are different kinds of elected mayors across Germany. You have historically a federal structure. Mm-hmm. But even in Germany, federalism did not work until you had broken up the almighty Prussia. Because federal structures don't work if you've got one element that is disproportionately so large that it distorts everything. So in the United Kingdom, England is a problem. And if you were to break up England in units, then London in its size would be. So let's not get carried away. And there's no such thing as a perfect system.
Get carried away.
Even like the whole Holy Roman Empire, which was a decentralised form.
It was indeed.
Yes.
And the Elector of Hanover then became the King of England in George the First. So, you know, great system. But let's just go back. And what we need to talk about, what are the responsibilities which get delivered at a local level? And once we've defined what we make people responsible for, then comes the debate about the powers and how you legitimise the power.
Okay, so give me your perspective on the Chancellor's approach thus far. We see it most obviously in Greater Manchester, which is I'm prepared to do a deal, I'm prepared to decentralise or devolve a certain series of powers and responsibilities. In return, I demand and expect you to have a directly elected mayor of Greater Manchester. And in other places, if you're not prepared to accept that, then I will do a lesser deal with you. Give me your perspective on that. I appreciate you're a Labour politician, but just a sense as to where you think he's coming from and why he's interested in that. And then I'll get Sir Robin and Peter to come in as well.
Bear with me for a moment. Mm-hmm. I had never thought I would end up saying that Lansley, Gove and Osborne are actually Maoists at heart. Because what they did, when you look at it, they smashed up what is. So in education, you got rid of the LEAs. On the NHS, you got rid of the train set for the Secretary of State. In the regions, you got rid of the RDAs and all the things which work. They then imposed structures which weren't coherent. But in the areas where things worked, they look really good. Mm-hmm. So essentially, what Osborne's now doing is he's picking on some areas which actually don't have structural problems. They are working well.
Right.
So he then says, and now you can have more money and more powers, but completely ignores the rest of it, whether you know it's the regions or whether it's clinical commissioning groups, where his market model isn't working. And in the short term, it gives him enough for it to look good without having to worry too much about the areas where his model doesn't work.
Okay. Peter, reflections on Osborne's approach, but also, you know, if he's Chancellor after May the 7th again, and he continues down this road, at what point does the Leeds City region not take in a mayor? Where do we go on that if that he continues to hold that line?
The reason this is happening now, of course, is it's near the election. Mm. All of a sudden, 12 months from the election, George Osborne loves the North. So this is part of a political strategy, of course it is, to show that because he loves the North, some of those swing seats in the North West will go over to the Conservatives. That's the base political reason this is being done now, is the truth. Now then, in terms of Manchester, for example, if a city is offered something that is better, even if it's only a little bit better, what do they do? Now, AGMA are a class act when it comes to working together. They've led the way and the rest of us are playing catch-up. Mm-hmm. Some of my comments are meant to kind of gel my colleagues in West Yorkshire to catch up to Manchester. And interestingly, George Osborne says, what we have in Manchester is really strong leadership. and you do with Richard Lees and Helen Bernstein, really strong leadership, which then begs the question, so why do you want to be elected mayor? Mm-hmm. If you've got strong leadership already, we have secured a deal without an elected mayor. It would be perverse, would it not, to impose a directly elected mayor when we've had four referenda in, you know, only in 2012.
Yeah. Okay. So, Robin, reflections on Osborne's approach. And obviously, from your point of view, you know, you're a local authority directly elected mayor that sits underneath a Greater London mayor, and a lot of the conversation that Osborne has is with the Mayor of London, and I'm wondering about and how that works for you as well.
Yeah, well, that's what we're much bigger than Scotland, and we have a separate, you know, so I think we would say London is now playing catch-up. It's very frustrating for London, very frustrating for us. Manchester have led the way, that's quite right. I think they've done very well. I think Osborne, yeah, okay. You see politicians behaving in ways that suit their local area. They're getting the money, they can do something about health, they can make it more efficient, they can benefit local people, and they'll take whatever you give them to make that happen. Well done, Manchester, who don't want a directly elected mayor, but they'll take that because they think that people are more important than actually stopping that. And that's to their credit. And you'll do the same in Wakefield if you're given the same offer, because your people will come first. Now, so long as you can then choose to get rid of the directly elected mayor and go to a different city, then I'm more relaxed about it. I get that if you're going to bring something and you want to be sure that people are going to work together, but to be fair, Manchester had demonstrated they could do that before this came. The frustration for me in London is the stuff goes on that's far, far, far too big to run things in a sensible way. Yes, you'd run transport across London, of course you do. That's something Manchester doesn't have in London as well. But you wouldn't try and do, I mean, there are all sorts of things like social care, like, which is a local thing. There's lots of things happen locally, like safeguarding, lots of things we do. How would you run your leisure centres and the leisure systems across London that should be devolved down to lower areas, which is why in East London we've got together. And a number of councils said, we want this, or we want to start talking about devolution of power from the London mayor down to us, but we want more power to London, more power down to the suburbs, more power to the council, and more power down to local areas. Though I argue it's got to be a democratic area, because people have to be... The one I hear people talking about community leaders, and I go, a community leader is somebody who's elected. If you want to be a community leader, knock yourself out and stand for election. If you win, you're the community leader, because you've proved that you're that. So for me... I think we made a terrible mistake. In 1945, the government did a fantastic thing. They come out of a war. They thought that doing things just in one place, in a central place, worked. They watched the Soviet Union did really well. And then in 1989, the Soviet Union said, oops, centralisation doesn't work. And yet we had a Thatcher government and others that have centralised at a great rate of knots. If we're going to do things more effectively in this country and actually make them more relevant to people and better and cheaper and improve the quality, you need to decentralise that power down. Manchester has shown us the way. It's frustrating for those of us in London, because London led the way with the election of the mayor. But I have to say, I think the failure of this London mayor has been that he hasn't sought to drive that agenda forward. So we have the example of needing bridges over the Thames down where we are, and we get a cable car. But in the 21st century, it's this mayor's response to the needs of London. So for me, we've missed the trick. We have to get on, we have to drive forward. But that's how local government works. So somebody, Manchester, show you a way forward, and we'll go, oh, we'll have some of that.
Okay.
That's why local government's more effective than central government.
So I'm keen, given that I've got three Labour politicians in the room with me, to get your sense as to where, if we have a Labour government in some shape or form, post May, what their agenda will be around this, these sets of these issues. But Peter, you wanted to come in and respond, I think, to Sir Robin.
I was just going to make the point that we've got to make sure all the time we talk about devolution, we stress really strongly it's got to be fiscal devolution.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's not just devolution of responsibility without finance. It's got to be fiscal devolution. But the next Labour government, which will be elected in May, we need to make sure that they don't kind of go backwards on what was said about devolution. Now, I believe that the party's leadership is committed to devolution. I passionately believe in that, because I've spoken to them, and I have no reason to believe that what they say is not true. But we've got to persuade them that fiscal devolution matters as well, and get them to understand we've got to have a different balance between national and local. And I agree entirely with Robin. If we get power ourselves, devolved down to us, part of our role is then to devolve it down ourselves.
Yes.
So we get power to be able to give it away. Strongly believe that.
Geza Stewart, what's your sense as to where the Labour Party is on these issues and this agenda? Peter's given us a sense that we think they've made good progress, but there is an element that they may shift away from that. Where are we on that?
I think the head and the heart are willing.
Right.
But I think in a sense we almost have to give them the backbone to make sure, and now don't get nervous. Because they will get nervous. Because as you give responsibilities and powers, you will have, and I think probably in agreement with that, that unless you give some independent funding streams, which go to the local decision makers without having continuously to go cap in hand, you will not get this transfer of power. And that's when Whitehall and Westminster always get incredibly nervous, letting go of the purse strings, and also allowing people to occasionally make mistakes.
So Robin, what do local leaders, whether they're mayors or whether they're leaders of the council, what do they need to do to address that issue, to give comfort almost that you can devolve responsibility, powers and finances, and it won't all go terribly wrong, which is always the central government concern.
You can. I have to say, for backbone, I say civil service. We have to get civil service. And I think, yes, I think people want to give it. I think Labour politicians want to give it. But when you get to the nitty-gritty, it will be quite difficult. So, for example, you get a particularly bad child abuse case, or you get something terrible, and there's been a failure locally, and we know there have been failures locally, and many of us spend a lot of time going, are we absolutely sure that while some stuff may be wrong, it's not systematic, it's not systemic, and that we're doing the very best we can. Lots of us do that, but there are always failures. But the health service, which is run from the centre, has lots of examples of failures that occur. One of the difficulties we've got in politics is, but if 99% is working, the one case you get on the front of the Daily Mail or the front of the Guardian will suddenly say, look how different this is. We have a case, for example, in Newham called Focus Mums, where there were 31 and they've all been placed in Newham. And people are saying, but you weren't placed in Newham. And we're going, no, I've placed in Newham and roundabout. We've done the right thing. But you read the Guardian and it's not clear. So the problem we've got is you've got to allow, it's what Gisela said, failure will happen. What you have to try and do is minimise that failure, keep your eye on it. I think government should be devolving, but they're saying, but we reserve the right to monitor this very carefully and very closely. And you might say on some of the failures, why wasn't it picked up by the Audit Commission?
Yes.
And what did this government do? It took it away. It took away those things from doing so. Why did Ofsted not pick up the things that are going on elsewhere? What the failure of... So central government's got these systems for checking, and it doesn't... They often don't work. So it's complex. These are big systems. There's millions of people. It's a difficult thing to do, but it is much more likely to work at the local level because we've proved that in so many different ways. And it is that thing about pushing it down to the level with the lowest political operation, so it then becomes more visible. I get held to account for stuff in my borough because people really care about it.
Just Peter. I agree entirely with Robin. And when national politicians talk about failure, financial failure, just mention two words, defence and procurement.
See, I think we should have that control of that, Peter. I think we could do it better.
I'm sure we could. The truth of the matter is that national politicians, with all due respect, are the last people who should be talking about systemic failure and financial failure, because their track record has not been great. Let's be honest about it. And I say, to repeat myself, we do things better, we do them quicker, and we do them cheaper at a local level.
Yeah.
He's sitting somewhere in between the government on the one hand or central government and obviously local authorities at the local level. How do we make sure that risk element, that concern that things will go well, but they also may go wrong, how do we resolve that? Can we resolve that? Or is that just an inevitable outcome in some respects of a more devolved system?
It will be patchier because it is more devolved, but there is this kind of level of ignorance. I mean, I remember Birmingham being attacked in the House of Commons for its council tax collection rate. Mm. The fact that it was actually doing a downside better than the Inland Revenue did in collecting taxes was neither here nor there. We've got a kind of a lack of local newspapers these days who kind of really have got the journalists out there sort of hold your feet to the fire when you do something wrong. And there is a degree of disconnect between who's responsible for what. The electorate actually think local council is all about collecting rubbish and potholes and trimming hedges. But we don't pay attention to the much more sophisticated jobs local government does. I think they need talking up. They really need to have a much greater awareness of the difficult job they're doing with ever-decreasing financial resources. And if we give them more responsibilities and more money, I then want them to be directly elected leaders.
So we're nearly out of time. So my last question, and just a brief response from all three of you, is if you think forward 10 or 15 years into the future, will we see more directly elected mayors in our cities? Sir Robin.
I think there will be. I don't think we'll see a huge wave of them. I think there'll be some people will take it. I think generally there's been a gradual increase, but I don't think we're going to see vast numbers. I don't think.
Giza, will we see more city mayors? And will we see Birmingham have a city mayor in 10 or 15 years' time?
I think in the case of Birmingham, you may see a regional mayor, but I don't think you will have the city mayor. But what I think you will see is that those kind of regional structures and the greater structures are going to be more important than Westminster.
Mm. Peter?
In 15 years' time, I hope we see more devolution structures that are fit for purpose, because at the moment, many of the structures are simply not fit for purpose.
Yeah. Great. I'd like to thank my guests today, Giza Stewart, Sir Robin Wheels, and Councillor Peter Box. You've been listening to City Talks. See you next time. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to this episode of City Talks, brought to you by the Centre for Cities. We're an independent, non-partisan think tank dedicated to understanding and improving city economies. For more on our research and events programme, including our extensive back catalogue, please visit our website, centreforcities.org.